And we're live. It's Andy, Jason, and Chris show here live on AW Radio. Hello, everybody listening.
I don't think professionals say that's how professionals do it when they go on.
Well, we're really professionals, and that's what we say. So I think it is what they say.
Really, we're going to come out of the gate with you naysaying and being a negative Nancy.
You know, I walked into the studio tonight, and I noticed something a little different.
Negative Nancy? I'm going to go so far as to say bitching Betty.
Okay. What did you notice differently?
I noticed that our lounge area has a coffee table.
It does.
Yeah. That was not there before.
Nothing but the best. And it's good. And not only does
you got an eagle eye there, Jason.
Yeah.
I actually did not notice it.
And, you know, not only is there a coffee table for the comfort of everybody lounging, but it's here for the people listening. Because I feel like they can sense that coffee table and they know that it's going to be a good show because of it.
Well, you know what I really, really...
Your IKEA collection is now complete.
Wow.
What my eye really was drawn to was the bowl of hard candy on the coffee table.
The Jolly Ranchers, help yourself.
And
It
reminded me of my 80-year-old grandmother. She also left out hard candy like that.
Because Eddie and your grandma are classy
people. These weren't supposed
to
be out. I'm putting these away.
It was just funny because there's just hard candy. I thought only old people did that, but apparently...
Well, it's Eddie, Jason, and Chris show.
People who like to, you know, host things.
Yeah, I just said that wasn't supposed to be out, and I just put it away. So don't even ask for any.
Thanks for ruining it for all of us, Jason.
Okay, well, we're gonna talk to a band called Beautiful Machines. They should be fun to talk to. Then also, I'm very excited to talk about talk to Chris J. He's from that band Army of Freshmen. You remember them? Army of Freshmen. Does that sound familiar? Well, now he's a filmmaker. He's got this movie called The Bet. The Bet. And we're going to talk to him and all about The Bet. You can get this on demand on all of your cable services. I saw it on mine the other night. Watch the movie. Very funny. Here's a clip from it.
Whoa!
That's a serious pre-op moose knuckle.
It looks like a $6 burger.
If it ever gets out, she's ruined.
Billy Jackson, we resorting to blackmail now?
Yeah, super. Now we're sexual predators.
Sexual predators? What, are we just walking the streets looking for houses with teddy bears in the window to wander into? Not in my wildest dreams.
Whoa!
That's a serious pre-op moose.
Whoa!
There we go.
It's on a loop.
Whoa! All right, there we go. We're going to talk to those guys. It's a comedy movie. It's about a dude that, you know, it's like a sex comedy kind of throwback to...
It's a comedy show.
...the American Pie type crap. Let's just start the show. Here we go. There's so much to get to.
It's the Eddie, Jason, and Chris show. Eddie, Jason, and Chris.
The Eddie, Jason, and Chris show.
Here we are live on AW Radio. Jason and Chris are telling secrets like schoolgirls. You want to share with the rest of the class there?
Lots to get to, Eddie. Let's move along.
Smell your...
move along.
Wash your
move
penis along. For a change. It stinks.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about your smelly dick.
All right. You guys have an inside joke going on, but nobody else knows what you're talking about.
By no one you
what
mean
did you? What did you decide to... All right. I don't even care. This is just a lot to get to.
Oh, let's move along then.
Moving along.
Good God.
It's like a freight train of
I'm Eddie, and that's asshole and dickweed.
Ooh, I called dickweed.
I just said, you want to know what I said, Eddie? Off the air?
What?
I said, it's going to be one of those shows. That's all I said.
One of those shows? What do you even mean?
Because you said there's lots to get to. You're just going to keep moving us along. That's all.
Well, we have to be moved along. Otherwise, what do we do?
We would be.
Do we just
why are you getting
here?
So defensive?
I'm not defensive. I'm just saying that's the point of the show. The point of the show is never.
I'm
really
not being defensive. I'm just defending what I'm saying.
The point of this show is to never really do anything. We just talk about things we're going to do, and then we never get to them.
Right. The ultimate tease.
It's called
the ultimate tease.
It's called foreshadowing, Eddie.
So many things.
It's what
to get
the pros
to.
Do.
I mean, there's always
the pros besides us. The other pros.
As soon as you say foreshadowing, he just thinks of foreskin. It gets him confused.
That's disgusting. I'm not even the one that's not circumcised. That's Chris.
Yeah, and thanks for saying my anatomy is disgusting, you dick.
You did say his dick smelled.
And it does.
Oh, my God. You would know, apparently. Why are you sniffing my dick?
We can smell it from across the table.
Oh, this is really
this
bad.
This show's going down the drain.
I know,
real
really,
quick.
Already.
I mean, how far are we into it? Like 3 minutes and we're just spiraling out of control?
You proclaimed Let's it was it going to be one of those shows before it even... You are willing.
I set the tone. I set the tone is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'll honor that. I did.
Why are you setting the tone as it being one of those shows?
Jason,
are you trying to derail it?
Or the glue that holds us back?
Because you said lots to get to. It's just fun when you have...
Lots like, to get to.
Right.
That's a new catchphrase.
That's your catchphrase.
Yeah. Ah.
Well, it's a phrase. I'm not sure if it's catchy.
It's catchy to him. That's all that counts.
Right. I mean, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, I like it.
You have anything else to say?
I probably shouldn't have had sex with a 16-year-old.
Yeah, probably not, right?
Wow.
Thanks, Jason.
That one's going to haunt you.
You're just letting it all out this week, right?
Yeah, well,
just letting it all out.
I probably shouldn't have had sex with a 16-year-old. You don't have to play the same thing again.
Yeah,
maybe.
Don't ruin it. It's good.
Play it. You're saying that. I'm not even touching anything over here.
Have you made one for you yet?
Made what?
Just a catchy little sound clip.
Made me talking. You know what we did do is...
Don't insult our audience.
Okay.
They know what a sound clip is and when I'm actually saying something.
Let's move
You're insulting
along.
Them by implying that I'm actually saying that.
This time. This time.
Is your phone in airplane mode?
No.
You're supposed to put on airplane mode so we don't annoy the people with the buzzing noise.
The buzzing noise? It's in my pocket.
No, sir, we can't hear it.
It doesn't matter.
It goes over the air.
Do you think your jeans contain lead?
Mine's way over there.
Hey, where's your phone?
It's on the counter and it's off.
You're the only one not playing along here.
Yeah, I'm a rebel.
So if anybody hears any interference, it's Jason's fault.
You know what? Your cousin's from trouble. Oh, that dick move. He's waving his phone around the equipment. We've
had this issue.
Eddie and
over
I deeply apologize.
This has been this issue on the show we've had over the past several months.
Shut up, Chris.
The show will just start buzzing. It'll just go bzzz, bzzz.
That's because we're on
and
El Fuego.
It took me forever to figure out what the hell it was. But
how do you know it was me?
I'm saying it's one of our phones.
Because
it's happening during interviews when you're
not
talking, chatting, or whatever on your phone.
No, I'm looking up band info, but my iPad's locked out for 5 minutes now.
And whose fault is that?
Well, you know, I tried keep putting in the passcode, and apparently it's not the one I chose.
Well,
it's not my iPad either.
Let's play this prank phone call. I thought this was good before the show.
I liked it.
Chris, soundboard prank, calling what are these, like a wilderness sporting goods store?
Yeah.
We'll say.
Like camping supply and hunting, fishing things.
Customer service, how can I help you?
I am Chris.
Hello.
How often have you stumbled on an animal corpse traipsing through, like, the Colorado wilderness?
I haven't. I just moved here a couple weeks ago, so...
What are we doing?
Haven't done my... Huh?
Whatever. Have you ever found a bear corpse, but you still believe in bears, right?
Yes, I do, but no, I have not.
That's an interesting question.
She's totally digging
find
it.
Do. One?
So I feel like you could probably this.
I know.
Frank call Chris could like bang this chick.
Yeah,
already.
That is the best.
And it's 40 seconds in. You've already closed the deal.
Yeah, that is the best I've ever done
with the girl.
Yeah.
Let's back it up.
Yes.
Do you find?
I'll back it up here.
Wait,
a little.
Anyone breathing could probably bang this girl. Just saying.
Damn, you leave my girl alone.
All right.
Interesting question.
That laugh and that it's
flirty.
Like it got her all excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you find one?
I'm gonna need to. That's what men do.
No. Yeah.
Oh my god, I don't know what's going on.
Can I help you with something?
Yeah.
Okay. No.
That's not creepy.
deeping my nuts in the toilet water. I might be like, it's time to get these bad boys back to their former posture.
Yeah. Okay.
You yeah, lost her there.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I said. Yeah.
Can I help you with something, sir?
You saying you don't have the same password for everything, Eddie?
I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah.
But that's the catch, though.
Okay.
Well, then she hangs up.
How about those laughs, those Chris
yeah.
laughs?
Yeah.
They were really creepy. Well, the way he played them over and over, it was just kind of creepy. Like right now.
I'm going to have to buy a couple oars, though, because her pussy is wet.
I can have like a wall of Chris laughing.
Is that the best you could come up with through that whole prank? I'm gonna have to buy a couple oars.
You know what? Go to hell. No, I was gonna say it spur of the moment, and then I didn't want to talk over the prank, and then I should have cooked something better up. I apologize.
Yeah. You know, I might prefer Soundboard Chris over the real Chris.
Why is that?
In terms of the show or
just in
general, life?
Like hanging out, yeah.
Soundboard Chris is a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, he's a cool guy and he makes me laugh.
We're still friends, right?
Yeah.
I can live with
my sex life.
Yeah.
That's an interesting question.
Yeah, there's a lot of new Chris clips there.
We should let Soundboard Chris do an interview with a band and not tell the band about it.
Ooh, how about during
that
one of our...
That would be an interesting challenge.
How about our interview coming up in just a little bit with Beautiful Machines? I'll just insert Chris Soundboard in there at one point and see if they...
At one point, you do that all the time.
Not during interviews. I never really... Maybe I have once or twice. I never really do, though.
Yeah. Like a full
what should
conversation.
We ask? Should we ask, like...
Have you ever found a bear corpse, but you still believe in bears, right?
Well, we can ask.
I feel like you're defending
that.
Bigfoot and it being real in that.
You do remember
that was context, the conversation. Yeah.
All right. Well, where is this? Too many windows open. There it is.
Every time I hear Bigfoot, I always remember that trip and I freaked you out. The road trip, Chris. You remember that?
Yeah.
You freaked out pretty hard.
Are you going to elaborate on that?
I'm sure people know. And
Nah, people don't even know what you're talking about.
I'm
sure just throw something
David,
like that out
David
there.
In Australia, he'll be able to tell us exactly which podcast that I explained the whole story.
You know, I think that might have even been pre-David.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But I feel like he goes back. He's one of those guys.
PD. All right, well, let's continue on.
Pre-D, huh?
Eddie, Jason, and Chris, EJCShow.com.
Beautiful Machines. We're going to talk to Beautiful Machines here in just a second. They are a very cool band. You're going to like. Yeah, it's Eddie, Jason, and Chris Show here live on AW Radio. And there's a town in Golden, or in Colorado, called Golden. There's a town. These are live reads. They don't always go as planned.
They rarely do go as planned.
There's a town in Colorado called Golden. Founded during the gold rush, it was home to miners who spent 12 hours a day in the frozen ground digging for gold.
But that land was rich in another resource, the Rocky Mountain water that runs cold and clear.
One man knew the value of that water. That man was Mr. Coors. In 1873, he settled in Golden to brew the finest beer that town had ever tasted.
The miners were grateful because when they sat down for a well-deserved banquet, Mr. Coors brought a beer worthy of the occasion.
A beer that came to be known as
the banquet beer.
Coors.
The banquet beer.
Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado, with great beer comes great responsibility.
Thank you, Coors, the banquet beer. We enjoy your product and your support of the show. We couldn't do what we do without you. We have what?
Lots to get to.
I don't know. Eddie's trying to sign to me, or like we're in special forces.
Well, you're signing to me, and I'm signing back.
I'm waving a sheet of paper at you.
Are you asking if we should do our other live read?
Yes.
Well, we'll do that later. Well, back to back live reads. We can't keep people.
That's too much.
That's too much.
Okay.
That's too much.
No.
But thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate
it. We got to give him time to go get a banquet beer.
Yeah.
You have to digest the banquet beer before we can get on to our next sponsor, which is also fantastic.
That's what Chris sounds like when he's sucking a D.
No.
Hey.
Oh.
Too much?
He.
You got to flag that?
Yeah.
Nah.
That's not what he said. It's got to
be flagged. The whole... Anyway.
Are we still on FM?
Yeah, allegedly. Who knows?
Do we care? Yeah. I feel like we've been holding back, and I just have so much.
Me too.
I'm bursting at the seams.
Like, are we number one on that?
Should we like not submit this show so you guys can speak freely?
I don't know. Well, like, none of us have even bothered to try. Like, we can't even find the signal.
No, I found it. 102.3.
It's 102.3?
Yeah.
I thought it was 104.7.
That's why it was confusing for
me. 102.3 is a different station.
It's 102.3.
So let's notify let people know what the hell we're talking about here. We're supposedly simulcast on an FM station here in Denver, and we're supposed to be submitting our show every week, so we've been watching our content.
Yeah.
And we've been censoring things a little bit. But the thing is, it might be a scam because none of us can find the station.
It's 102.3.
When you like sit in your car and you try to go to the frequency, it's supposed to be like 104.7.
Lies.
You go there, there's nothing there.
If it's a scam, it's the worst scam in history because we're not paying them anything.
If I had my phone, I would be able to tell you. I could Google it.
Get on the iPad.
I'm trying. What's the passcode?
I can't say that over the air.
Yes, you can.
Everybody will know my...
Just give me the...
I'd like it to
say... What's
the
passcode?
Is somebody going to break into your apartment to steal your iPad and then your identity?
Right, I would be worried
David from Australia is a little weird. We don't know what he's capable of.
David from Australia is just interested in us sexually and mortally.
Use your hands.
Not going to scam us.
Look.
It's not his style.
It's just too many... I'll just type it in. It takes my thumbprint, too, you know.
Okay, I got the first two.
Oh, look at me. I'm Eddie. I think I'm James Bond. I can scan everything in with biometrics.
Are you saying that I am like 90% of America that has an iPhone?
Technology.
Oh, look at me. I'm like 90% of America that has a thumb scanner on their phone because they have current technology. Chris has an Android from 2010.
I'm also sexually attracted to women, and I like to have fun and go to parties on weekends.
Oh my
God. Name is Eddie.
You have crossed the line. You've crossed the line with that one.
I'm sorry.
Can I get the passcode still?
Eddie, Jason, and Chris on Facebook. Facebook.com/EJC Show.
It's the Eddie, Jason, and Chris Show here live on Adobe Radio. If you want to give us a call, you can at 1-888-99-ADOBE, of course. Our guest tonight is Beautiful Machines. They're from San Francisco, California. They have a new album out. It's called Bridges. We're talking to Conrad. He's on the phone. And also, Stephanie is joining us. Hello, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
Where are you guys right now? Are you in San Francisco?
Yeah, we are. We just got back.
We're not really sure. There's a huge fog ball around us.
Ah, yes. I know. There is a... That fog ball must get kind of confusing sometimes. Do you ever like go to your mailbox and then fall over or anything like that?
It's like the nothing.
It's more like when we come back from out of town, we can't quite find where we came from.
Obscured. You just have your keys out and you're like just, you know, randomly putting them into doors, seeing if it works. But tell us about Beautiful.
We have a paging system for our house. We just page the house and it answers.
San Francisco is expensive, though. Isn't that hard to... Or what part of San Francisco are you guys in? Or maybe you guys are millionaires. I don't know. Tell us about what you do and who you are and why you're there.
Okay. Yeah, I think we spent most of our millions in the dot-com bubble in that burst. So we don't have that now. We're just kind of living, you know, hand-to-mouth, really.
Okay.
But we live in the Tender Knob area, if you're familiar with that one. It's kind of between Tenderloin and Knob Hill, but we're not here that often, so it's kind of like not living here that much because we've been on the road and working and traveling quite a lot lately.
Yeah, we have nomadic.
Well, you know that the actual house that they used for Full House is on the market right now. Maybe you guys should swoop in and get that.
Oh, the Painted Lady.
Wow. Yeah, it's on the market. So, is that the goal for the band? The ultimate goal is to buy that house, or
and. Have a new sitcom?
I think, well, they already have Full House, Fuller House is already out on Netflix.
Great company.
Yeah.
Then we can call it Beautifuller House. Beautifuller House.
How about Fullest House?
Mine was better.
Don't torture it, Eddie.
We'll brainstorm over this.
Yeah. We can have a meeting about this later.
We'll get back to it.
Yeah.
But I guess tell us a little bit more about you guys. Like maybe somebody out there's never heard of you before, what would be the elevator pitch?
Elevator pitch. Do people still have these things? They pitch in elevators?
Okay, I just read Donald Trump's The Art of the Deal, and it was a fantastic read.
Did elevators go out with the Macarena? Don't people still run into people in elevators?
Everybody uses stairs. Everybody's health conscious these days. Give us a stair
Touché.
Pitch.
Okay, we're going to give a stair pitch, which will be a little bit shorter because we're just going to run up these stairs.
Be out of breath.
So I would say we consider ourselves this cinematronic band, which is kind of a cinematic electronic rock hybrid band. We're trying to find a good name for that. And when you come to a show, the energy is a euphoric kind of energy. If you were, I don't know if this is, if you were on drugs or something, maybe like some kind of, it'd be an ecstatic kind of feeling.
Now, do you guys...
Yeah, I think...
Go ahead.
You can think about it like it's a... You're inside a science fiction movie.
Like Tron.
And you're on some kind of special designer drug that's made 20, 40 years into the future.
That's cool.
And that allows you to go into software without ditching your hardware. And prepare you for it.
So this is a lot like Tron then, right?
I think it could be likened to something like that at some point, sure.
So is this a drug that you guys are actively developing in Silicon Valley?
Wait, we signed the NDA. We can't talk about
that. Yeah, NDAs, sorry.
Oh. Do you guys dabble into psychedelics?
Is San Pedro a psychedelic?
I think so. Mm. Yeah, there's all different kinds of psychoactive element in that thing.
We
love journeying in all different kinds of ways.
Right. Well, what way are you guys journeying? What's the most recent way you guys have journeyed?
So we recently went to Arches. If you've been there in Utah, Arches National Park.
Yeah, that's an amazing place. Awesome.
Beautiful.
And I'm not going to say we did something magical, but let's just say if we did do something, it was that thing, and it was magical.
Now, you guys are in a rock and roll band. Let's not be ashamed about drug use.
Yeah, you got to embrace it.
It's not like you're accountants, unless it's part of your lore as an entity, the Beautiful Machines. What did you do? Did you do mushrooms?
No, it was just San Pedro.
Yeah, it's a special type of cactus. It was actually
a special
that,
type of cactus. Tell us some more about that. That's interesting.
It was really an incense that was just being blessed by multiple shamans that we have carried with us through our very many different trips throughout the country. And it just, you know, it literally like waved his little hand at us and said, "We're going on a journey today. Let me take you through Arches National Park." And we said, okay.
And now, how did you ingest this?
Well, you put it into a bottle, and then you shake it up with some of your favorite liquid, and it becomes like a protein shake. It has a kind of alkaline, bittery taste. And it's not like, I wouldn't say it's any kind of like doing LSD or mushrooms or something like that. Something different. It's kind of a more clear, nicer kind of vibe, and it's not really like a drug at all. I didn't really notice it.
Happened was we were on this huge hike on the top of Arches National Park, and the trail was a primitive trail, meaning you just follow little stacks of stones that the rangers stacked up, and sometimes it requires you to leap over a cliff or jump on a rock or just walk on ginormous rocks into what seems to be in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a canyon, and we made up stories with clouds.
Basically, we took a 7-mile journey and then realized we only walked 3 steps.
Ah. That sounds a little frightening, but cool at the same time. I dig that. But, is this in any way related to Stephanie? You're a professional sound healer. Is this at all related in any way? Do these experiences? First of all, what is a sound healer?
A sound healer is really just someone who uses sound frequencies, are very attuned with them, and then wants to use it as a medium to help people.
Can you heal us right now? Like, can you make us be better interviewers?
Well, see, there's the saying that you want to be a door, not the doer. So I don't heal people or heal the world. If someone comes to me, then I'll be a channel to whatever they need to hear or.
Well, this is interesting, though. So what's the process like? So somebody says, oh, I have this affliction. Can you help me out? And what they like, you know, lay down or something, then you play a frequency over a speaker or like what? I assume that's how it would work.
It's multiple different frequencies. And there's also like a huge intestinal element as well.
Intestinal?
It's intestinal.
Okay. So, because I've heard of those diarrhea guns and they use a sound frequency in warfare to give people diarrhea. Is this, you know what I'm talking about? Have you heard of that at all? I'm sure as a sound healer, you're up on the latest sound news.
Yeah, we've used this before. It's actually, the brown note.
You've done it?
No, we've actually given a whole entire talk on the brown note.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So, and are you saying that you use the brown note in your sound healing?
It's for constipation.
Well, it depends on, you know, which brain we're talking about. There's different types of
I have more than one brain. I know about the... Well, how many brains do people have?
Your intestines are actually your second brain.
I've heard that before, actually, but I don't really understand
what
that
means.
In
Eddie's case, that's his first brain.
So why are your intestines your second brain?
There's a lot of functions of the intestines we're not quite sure of yet.
Really?
And it's the largest bundle of nerves in your body, aside from the gray matter on top.
So when people think with their crotches, they pretty much are.
Well, it's not really quite that low. It's more like your actual intestine.
Like
and
your abdomen?
All the bacteria
the joke doesn't work,
that cohabitate with you. Sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. No, we're listening. Go ahead. So so there's a lot of bacteria in there that kind of, it's a symbiotic relationship with your body, and we just don't entirely know what's happening down there, huh? Is that what you're trying to
say? It's like the co-op brain.
That's really cool.
Well,
you guys
so
gave
one
it...
of the thoughts before,
go ahead.
One of the thoughts before was that, like, the way that intelligence works is that it comes from the brain or something like that. So we as humans will look at everything in the world and think, where's the brain to it so we can see that it's thinking? But really, it doesn't really work like that. I mean, if you look inside of like a cell or something, those things know how to do stuff. So when you think about it that way, how are they thinking and manipulating their environment and having aerobic and anaerobic activities? It's really interesting. So and likewise, there's different systems in the body that can react and can think, but not in the way that we think of a brain is thinking.
You know, it is kind of interesting when you really think about it. We have all these billions and billions of organisms going about their daily routines inside of us, not even self-aware or knowing where they are. Very bizarre and kind of freaky.
If you ever get the chance to look in like a electron microscope or microscope in the new technology now, and you can see a DNA, and it's replicating itself using this DNA polymerase, for instance. And when you watch that happen, you see these little machines, these little tiny kind of things twisting and turning, and that they actually have like magnetic and they're able to pull in whatever particles and atoms they need to build whatever proteins they need in a matter of seconds, like a matter of milliseconds or whatever. It is so mind-blowing that this is pretty much, that's where the drugs come in, I think.
These machines are almost beautiful machines. We'll take it right.
They certainly are.
And now we get it. See, now we know why you guys named the band Beautiful Machines without even asking the question. See, that's how good we are.
You guys are sharp.
So, thanks, guys, for coming on the show. Beautiful Machines, the new album Bridges is out now. You guys have a lot of interesting thoughts. If you ever want to come back and talk about the Brown Note exclusively, we're happy to do it. Can you guys do the Brown Note on the show to one of us?
To Eddie.
We'd love to. Yeah, let's do it.
You can do it for real?
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We have to get a... Well, what do you have any speakers or something like... There was something that I think Howard Stern did, right? He made an orgasm happen over the air. So we can do something similar to the Brown Note. Just make sure there's a lot of cheap plastic lying around.
Right.
And you got to have like a 5,000-watt amp with a subwoofer, and we can make this happen.
But I feel like this almost needs to happen at one of your live performances, because we need a lot of power here.
Yeah, you need some power.
Well, we'll figure it out. We have the whole album here, Bridges, that's out now. Everybody can pick this up on iTunes and everywhere else. And we'll play anything off of it you guys want. I know that you're kind of you're sort of pushing right now, but we'll play anything.
Yeah, Sunrise Song is great. Love that one.
Sunrise Song, okay. You want to tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. I think the song idea came from being in Japan, and there's this thing called Hatsuhi in Japan, which is New Year's Day celebration, and it's like this rebirth of everything, this newness which comes around. Everybody's drunk, and you can imagine a bunch of Japanese businessmen on the train groping at women. But besides the point, so this was about kind of about two things. One of them is about like when you pass on and there's this ascension of your inner being that's going to somewhere else and newness. And then it's also about a father's kind of communication to his new, like, newborn son in this new life that's being brought forth, and his sentiments towards the new one.
Here we go. Sunrise Song, Beautiful Machines. Thanks, guys, for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Yay.
Thanks.
Bye. There they are.
Eyes could Jason and Chris.
EJCShow.com.
It's the Eddie, Jason, and Chris Show, 1-888-99-IDOBE. It's 1-888-994-3624 if you'd like to call up and say what's up. We're also, of course, on Skype, EJC Show on Skype. Add us on Skype if you haven't done that yet. David in Australia, he has a question for you, Chris. He is wondering, he has a theory. Actually, let's just get him on the line. He has a theory about Chris. Hopefully he'll answer real quick because we don't have all day to connect to Skype here, but... He is, if you...
The person whom you're trying to reach...
All right, don't ruin the show, David. Ruining the show. Anyways, his question
David.
For you, he messaged us on Skype and he asked if you have been smoking cigarettes. Excuse me, I'm burping up this Chex Mix.
No, I have not been smoking cigarettes.
He's convinced that you're a smoker, in secret.
Huh. I mean...
Smoking the bowl.
I smoke occasionally tobacco and marijuana, but I'm not a regular imbiber.
All right, well, that's not very interesting.
That was a dumb question.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to me because I always think I have like a high kind of nasally voice. Yeah. Or maybe not high, but nasally.
I could get nasally, but not high.
Yeah. Well, speaking of you, Chris, I think at one point in... your tenure as a human being, you mentioned to me that you consider yourself to be a lesbian. And
yeah, I think I've said it a couple times.
And that kind of gave me an idea, since you are a lesbian at heart, for a game called Chris or Hillary Clinton. Who said it? And this is where we have clips of Chris and we have clips of Hillary Clinton, and we try to guess who said what. Which lesbian...
All right. That's really sexist. Let's do it.
Sorry. I know. I really apologize. I feel bad for bringing
feel
that up.
Feel nothing.
Yeah, everyone knows you're a manist.
Well, I really do. I don't feel like... people, that's like the biggest insult people have against Hillary is they say, oh, she must be a lesbian. But, you know, who cares if she even were a lesbian? It doesn't even matter.
That's the biggest
It matters
insult?
For our game.
Well, yeah. See, it's just my way of setting up the game.
Who says that? I haven't heard anyone say that.
Well, here is the first question, or the first quote. Was this Hillary Clinton, or was it Chris that said it on the show at some point? Now, this wasn't recently in the show, or it could have been recently. It could have been like last week, could have been last year. Here we go. And somebody's phone is ringing. Chris's phone is ringing. He just got up and walked away.
Yeah, Look at whose phone's an issue now, huh?
Why are you walking away from the show?
You guys give me a hard time about my phone.
We're about to do this game.
Chris gets a phone call.
And he walks away.
And he just gets up and leaves.
I was turning it off.
Damn. Okay, here's the quote.
Wow.
Who said this, Hillary Clinton or Chris? The quote is, I don't feel no ways tired. That Hillary Clinton or Chris?
Are we buzzing in? Or?
No, this is a guess. We'll go through this quickly.
Sounds like me.
Yeah.
Okay, let's find out.
I don't feel no ways.
That was Hillary Clinton.
I don't feel no ways.
Is that a true quote?
Yeah, She gave a speech to like the NAACP and was like speaking in blackface. It was pretty offensive.
Wow. When was that?
It was like 5 months ago.
Wow.
Okay, here's the next quote. These are difficult, hard choices. Is that Hillary Clinton or Chris?
Hillary.
Hillary?
These are difficult, hard choices.
Yep, that was. Here's the next quote. You don't need that many animals to have a breeding population. It could be a species that is going on the verge of extinction. Is that Chris or Hillary?
I think Chris. That's me.
You do? Okay.
You don't need many animals to have a breeding population. It could be a species that is on the verge of extinction.
What kind of vegetarian is he?
I don't know.
We don't need that many.
Next one is people who are unaware that they're overweight may be better off kept in the dark, but who's unaware that they're overweight? Was that Hillary Clinton or Chris?
It's got to be Hillary.
I'm going to say Chris.
People who are unaware they are overweight may be better off being kept in the dark, but who's unaware that they're overweight, though? Wow. I don't remember that one at all.
Yeah. Winning.
I know. These span back a little bit.
Wow.
Next one is, this is what we call smart power. Was that Hillary Clinton or Chris?
It's got to be Clinton.
This is what we call smart power.
Yep. Next quote, Hillary Clinton or Chris, I am sick and tired.
That's classic Hillary.
Yeah.
I am sick and tired.
I don't know that happened. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, this is just a weird one. I didn't know that it happened.
Chris.
That's me. I didn't know that it happened.
I feel like you say that a bunch.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not weird. Like your catchphrase.
What difference at this internet video that you had nothing to do with?
Oh my God, Hillary's taking over the show. She's hacked us. Finally, she's on the other side of the hacking.
The next
in Soviet China, Hillary hack you.
Next quote.
Thank
was
you.
It Clinton or Chris?
Jason loves those.
He does love those. Next one. An awful internet video we had nothing to do with.
Hillary.
Well, that's tough. That's me.
You say Hillary.
An awful internet video that we had nothing to do with.
I'm 100%.
Jason's crushing me.
And it's you. Losing on you.
Yeah.
Wow.
I feel like David in Australia, he's really freaking out about this game on Skype. He keeps chiming in, so.
Well, he saw that we tried to call him.
Well, David in Australia, you're on the air.
Fantastic.
Okay, you're here for the last two questions, because I know you're liking this game. Was it Hillary Clinton or Chris? Here's the quote. Quote, what difference at this point does it make?
Chris.
It's me.
What difference at this point does it make?
You guys are the same person.
Yeah, I had no idea we had the same...
That is really creepy.
And
like most of the country still hates her.
And yet they love me.
Here's the last figure.
I don't know if they do.
The whole freaking world
must be
loves
like a
me.
Male-female thing. Like just because she's female, everyone hates her. But if she was a male, she'd be you and everyone loves you.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the last one, you know, I've tried to go back a couple times. It's just not the same.
Hillary.
That's got to be Hillary.
David?
Chris.
You know, I've tried to go back a couple times. It's not the same.
David knows you more than better than you and I.
As soon as I said Hillary, though, in my defense, I'm like, that could have been me.
So did you like that game, David, in Australia?
That was good. Top quality.
All right. Well, we just wanted to get you on the line real quick for that, just for a couple questions.
No worries. Awesome show, guys. Glad to have you all back again.
Well thank you. Thank you. Keep listening. There's a lot to get to.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
There he is, David
Jason,
in Australia.
Your point about, the world doesn't seem to like Hillary because she's a woman, but everybody likes me. Nobody likes Hillary, and yet she's winning. She's about to become president. Makes me wonder, hey, maybe I should run for president.
This is why democracy doesn't work.
Thank you, soundboard, Chris. You've thought of everything.
You can't go against me next election cycle.
You'll be my running mate.
No, you're supposed to be my chief of staff.
Oh,
you actually
make
the decisions.
That's right.
I'm the likable person.
Yeah. I'm going to get you win.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm like the George W. Bush. I'm just the face.
Yeah. I'm going to be your Hillary Clinton behind the scenes.
Bill?
Yeah, I'm going to sweep all of your sexual, misdeeds under the rug, and then I will run for president after
Are you sure that you
sex
can,
transition is complete?
Right. Are you sure that you can run, though, with
you're halfway.
The things that you've said on the show, though, Jason?
Absolutely can. And I
was going to come back
to
bite you.
I will face them head on.
I don't know if I can really support Hillary.
You've said that.
Yeah.
That's not controversial.
Yeah, that's not controversial.
I probably shouldn't have had sex with a 16-year-old. Well, I'll have to face up to that.
My candidate has no memory of that comet.
Yeah, actually, I don't. Is Do you it think recent? That, like, handicapped people, like, get shit all over the toilet?
That's going to come back to haunt you, I think.
It's get fine.
What's that?
FM.
Oh, yeah. Even. The, yeah, I don't know.
Are we off the leash or what? Because we should know.
This show.
We should know.
I'm not submitting this show. It's already too late.
It's an hour late. Like, we've been holding back, kind of.
We should still kind of hold back.
Give us open.
We have a daytime time slot now on Adobe, so it's fine. We're doing fine. Anyways, say Jason.
Eddie, Jason, and Chris After Dark.
Ooh, we're going to talk to Chris
J. God, it sounds like a gay porn.
Chris J. from Army of Freshmen, and he's also the producer and writer of a new, very funny movie called The Bet. We're going to talk to him in just a minute. You do not want to miss this interview at all.
Eddie, Jason, and Chris, EJCShow.com.
But first, thank you to our wonderful sponsor, CW Hemp. CW Hemp is... They're awesome. They're the creators of Charlotte's Web Daily Hemp Wellness Supplement. They improve the quality of the lives for millions worldwide.
It's the world's most trusted hemp extract.
It is.
And it's at Natural Colorado Wellness. So right. That's right, folks. It's local for us here in Denver.
It contains naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants.
Antioxidants remove the toxins from your body that can cause premature aging, disease, and mental fatigue. Nobody wants any of that.
Unless you're Hillary.
Oh, Lord.
That is fairly offensive. Charlotte's Web is also a great source of omega essential fatty acids that promote healthy functioning of your body's regulatory systems. Add Charlotte's Web to your daily fish oil and omega-3 routine. You know that what you put into life is what you get out of it. Your body works the same way. Introduce Charlotte's Web to your diet, and you will get more out of your body than you ever imagined.
100% American-made and available in all 50 states. It's non-psychoactive, by the way, if you're wondering. That's not what this product's about. It's about making you healthier because hemp is a healthy thing. It's used by professional athletes, musicians, podcast hosts like us, librarians, lawyers, infants, and children, and retirees. If infants, you know, I always pride myself in the fact that I could do 90% of what an infant can do. So,
is that why you still drink formula?
Is it why you love suckling on breasts? Charlotte's Web truly benefits the health of anyone. Don't spend another day without Charlotte's Web. Get yours today at www.cwhemp.com/EJC.
That's cwhemp.com/EJC.
Search the hashtag YCW to find out more. That is WHYCW. And find out more.
But please support CW Hemp at EJC. This is for your own wellness. And CWHemp.com/EJC. And we've been taking it, and I feel fantastic. And I'm getting a little thirsty. Do we have any Similac around here somewhere?
Why? Do you put your Charlotte's Web in it?
Yeah, I do. That's how I take my Charlotte's Web in my bottle before I go to bed.
Eddie, I can't tell you how you're feeling, but you look fantastic as well.
You have a shine to you.
Your skin's glowing.
Yeah. Eat like a baby to feel like a baby, right?
Yeah.
That's what they all say. All right. The best the business. Say that.
Does Lauren have to burp you?
Yeah.
Do you ever spit up on her?
The Eddie, Jason, and Chris Show. EJCShow.com.
City Jason and Chris Show here live on Adobe Radio. You can give us a call if you want, 1-888-99-ADOBE. Or you can also add us on Skype, EJC Show. We're also EJC Show on Twitter and all that good stuff. I'm really excited to talk to our next guest here, Chris J. from Army of Freshmen, of course. Everybody remembers him from that. But also, he's now this big shot movie writer, movie producer. He has a new movie, The Bet, out. It's available right now, video on demand. Hey, how you doing, man?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Doing great. This is awesome that you have this. We talked about this before, so I'm not going to pretend like we haven't talked about this at all. But, you know, this is so cool that you have this movie that you've written and produced all on your own. It's really awesome. How's everything going? The premiere happened, right?
Yeah, things are going great, man. Thank you so much. It's exciting. The movie came out about 2 weeks ago, and we're sort of just in full-fledged sort of indie movie publicity mode. So I'm kind of like taking everything I learned from the music world of sort of like promoting a record grassroots and applying it to movies. And so far, it's going pretty good. We're trying some unorthodox stuff to kind of get it out there. So I can't complain, you know.
It's really cool. I mean, you guys are, of course, a pop punk band that Adobe's played for forever, and we, you know, definitely supported you guys on the front lines back in the day. And
yeah.
And now you have this movie out. I guess
it's a big deal.
What is the movie about? What's the premise of this movie, The Bet?
Yeah, for those who have not seen it or are not familiar with it, this is a very lowbrow comedy, if you will, but it's basically about a guy who gets into a bet where he has to go back and find every single girl he's had a crush on from first grade to 12th grade, and he has one summer to do it. Not only does he have to find them, he has to hook up with them. So it's kind of a throwback to old school raunch comedies that, you know, guys like you and I grew up with in the 90s, and American Pie and Superbad. That's sort of the world it's in, and it's hopefully hilarity ensues when he goes on that journey.
And it does. I saw the film. I saw a rough cut of the film. I regret to say I haven't seen the polished up version, but I did when I was browsing movies over the weekend on my cable, you know, to rent. Uh-huh. And I saw you guys on there. I was really stoked to see you guys right next to Dirty Grandpa, actually.
Yeah.
They're in some prestigious company.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, though, you do have one factor or element that does set the movie apart, a bit of a tragic element. You feature the last screen performance by Rowdy Roddy Piper, the late Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah, now are any of you guys like wrestling fans? Do you come from that world at all? Or
I can't say I do, no, but
I remember I had a little bit of it, you know, back in the day, kind of being a wrestling fan a little bit, but
the
not
bad
huge,
old days
not huge.
Of like Hulk Hogan and or like more like the 90s,
the Stone Cold Steve Austin
era.
Days.
Yeah,
I think it was pretty unescapable during that sort of they call it that Raw period, you know, the Monday Night Wars. Like,
right,
you couldn't get around it in the late 90s. I mean, wrestling was probably as big as it'll ever be at that time. It's pretty exciting time for wrestling, actually. Yeah.
And you guys not only had Roddy Piper in the film, but also Diamond Dallas Page. So two WWE legends.
Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yeah, we have
so
Roddy Piper's
three.
Last film appearance. We have Diamond Dallas Page and Jake the Snake Roberts, so sort of like the rival dads in the movie. So it's been cool. The wrestling community has really sort of been the first community to find out about the movie and support it. And, you know, wrestling people are so loyal, as you know. You know, it's one of those... when you're into wrestling, I think you have to be into it all the way. I don't run into a lot of casual wrestling fans, you know.
Are you how did you get involved with the wrestling thing? Are you a huge wrestling guy?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with it. I mean, pretty much when I was young, I was just all about music, all about wrestling. And when we were writing the script, I had the idea to put two wrestlers as the dads. It was kind of more just like a gag. I thought it would be funny if you knew wrestling. Oh, wait a minute, there's those two guys. And I just said about it when it looked like we were going to be able to pull the movie off. I started to reach out to wrestlers, and I did a cold email, Roddy Piper, just totally a fan mail address that I found online. And he wrote me back, and he said he knew the band. I don't think he did, but I wasn't going to tell him that he didn't, if you know what I'm saying. So I kind of used that as my way of basically getting a lunch with him and pitching him on the movie. And I think he was just kind of impressed that it was such an insane idea that these guys in the band were going to try and make a full-length movie. He was like an underdog type guy. You ever just meet somebody who's just down for the cause, you know? And he was like, if you pull this off, he was like, I want to be a part of it just to see if you can actually do it. So he was the first guy to sign on, and that kind of got the ball rolling at that point once we got Roddy. So in a real weird twist, having lost him last year, it's kind of cool that this is his last film, and I'm proud of that, man. Like, no matter what, it's neat that you can grow up and somebody's a hero, and in this weird sort of strange world, you're always connected with them because we made the last movie that he was ever in. Obviously, I wish that wasn't the case, but I'm proud of that. No matter what people say of the movie, I'm glad that we cast somebody like that in it. You know?
You can't capture anybody in a couple of words, but what was the man like in real life?
He was such a kind an inspiring human being. He was just a nice guy. And I know everybody says about that, about somebody when they pass away, naturally. You know, we all have that drunk uncle, and you get there on the funeral. Like, Uncle Steve was wonderful. It's like, it is this shit, you know. But yeah. Roddy was a wonderfully inspiring human being. Sometimes when you see those guys play, like, a character, like, they are the character, but that wasn't Roddy. That loud, brash, obnoxious wrestling guy that he was quiet. He was friendly. He was sweet. He was supportive. I mean, I know this sounds crazy, but he literally was one of the kindest guys that I've ever met. Did you ever meet somebody and they instantly become friends with them? He just had that magic about him, and he was a very, very special guy. And he was a great actor. For the people that only know him from the wrestling world, he did a lot of B movies. There's no doubt about it. He was in the John Carpenter classic They Live, but he did a lot of those trashy movies because he told me that's how he got his insurance. Wasn't doing insurance. He was using
the Screen Actors Guild, right?
Actors Guild insurance.
That's it. That's crazy. I had no idea. So I guess it kind of makes sense there as to why he's doing it.
He's like a working performer kind of guy.
Yeah.
Famous guy, but, you know, still working to make ends meet. And
but, of course, he saw something in the film, though, and you pitched him the script. And it is very funny. Very funny dialogue throughout the whole thing. And And you said it was just a bear to make, though. Like, I can only imagine when you're an independent filmmaker and you pretty much are against all odds. It's very rare that Goodwill Hunting happens or a Blair Witch project, you know. But you literally started from scratch and you created a film without any experience, which is just amazing. I wouldn't even know where to begin. That's like me saying right now at this moment, I want to make a film. And then doing it, and I've already given up.
Yeah, totally right. It was pretty psychotic. I mean, I come from the music world, but I have no experience in the film world. But I almost feel like Aaron, who wrote the film with me, who is a guitar player for Army of Freshmen, it was kind of like we got to go to film school. I feel like we went to like 3-4 years of film school. The only difference is instead of getting a piece of paper, we actually have a movie. So it's awesome, but it was wild. I mean, there's a program called Final Draft to give you an idea how out of our element we were. That's your screenwriting program. Like you put it on your computer, and then when you
type formats it for you.
Does that make sense? Like everything lands in the right place, and the character names are in the right place. We did not know that existed.
But are you kidding?
Literally, what's that?
I was saying, are you kidding? You didn't know that Final Draft exists? That'd be a bitch to write a script without Final Draft.
So we would write it, okay? And then afterwards, we would take a couple hours to put all the spaces in, dude. I mean, it was like when we turned it into our producer the first time, he was like, oh, man, I didn't know you guys said Final Draft. And we were like, Final what?
Oh, man.
Like it's just as backwards as it could be. I mean, we were practically doing this on a typewriter, but that's how passionate we were about it, you know?
That's awesome.
It was a big shock to us when we realized you didn't have to press the space bar 35 times to get something to line up right. But, you know, it's just an idea of how out of our element we were. But, dude, we got involved with some good people. Like anything else, like, you know, if you're into something, you have an idea, you got to try and find some people that can help you with it. You know, we didn't do this all on our own. We went to a gentleman that produced one of our music videos, and he kind of coached us along early on and just kind of got the ball rolling, and he agreed to come on to the project once the script got to a certain place. So, It was wild, dude. The whole thing has just been just all this bizarre roller coaster because we never set out to make a movie. We almost just kind of wanted to write a screenplay. Like the music industry got so ugly, as you guys well know, that we just kind of had a lot of time on our hands. We were one of those bands that would like open up for bigger bands. So when the CD sales started to go away and less bands started touring and all the indie promoters started going out of business, we just had a lot more time on our hands. You know, we were sort of one of those middle-class bands that was kind of lost in the mix. So I was just like, you know what? I've always wanted to write a movie.
Well, let's talk about that for a second.
Write a movie.
With Army of Freshmen, yeah. I mean, so you guys are kind of caught up in the whole changing of the music industry. But at this point, I feel like it's sort of leveled off a little bit, hasn't it? Don't you feel like it's what's your feelings on the state of the music industry right now? Don't you think it's sort of becoming a little bit more fertile for up-and-coming artists? Is that just me? I don't know.
I think you're right. I think it leveled off. I think, like, the horror of downloading and streaming and all that is, like, over. And now we just sort of have to accept that that's the world. It's like The Walking Dead, you know? Like, there was probably a period where those people really tried to fight off the zombie invasion, but it just didn't work. So you can survive, you know, but I think in terms of doing music to make an actual living, man, I think it's a very small window of people that have the ability to do that.
Like, it's weird that you decided that that was tough, so you'd go into filmmaking. I mean, I think it's even harder to go into filmmaking.
I feel like I was on a sinking ship, and there was a ship passing by. I was on the music ship, right? And then there was a boat came by that said indie film on it, and I said, I'll get on that one, and I dove on it, you know?
Yeah, because so that
kicked open the door. I'm like, how are we looking, Cap? And he was like, oh, we're about to sink, dogs. You know,
right. Like, I mean, that industry is changing.
It's a gypsy curse. Like, I'm meant to be poor. I can't shake it. It's just who I am, you know?
Well, that industry, I mean, the indie filmmaking thing is changing immensely, too, the same way that the music industry has, because video on demand, that's where you guys are releasing the film right now. But a lot of people in the film industry will argue that that's destroying the income of studios, you know? So, because you have people buying one ticket essentially instead of five when they go out with their family. That's the argument.
It's like parallel to music. What's happening? I think the film business is experiencing what music experienced 6-7 years ago with the piracy, especially, like, you know, Pirate Bay and stuff like that. And it's wild, man. Like, if you're a 12-year-old kid now and you want to see a movie, you go online and you get it. You don't get mom and dad to give you $7-$8 for a movie ticket. You don't need to get a ride to the movie theater. You can essentially just go watch the thing in your bedroom. And the same thing with music, obviously. And that kind of blows my mind, because I grew up in a world, maybe you guys did too, where going to the record store was like one of the great joys of my life. Going to the movies was the best thing that could possibly happen to a kid, like, in a small town.
Right.
And
it was so satisfying.
I feel like that's going away, and I think it's depressing. Do you call me old or bitter? But I don't necessarily know if entertainment is in a great place. I mean, it's just different. It's just different times, you know?
I think they call you old and bitter, but as we segued into music, you also have another interesting actor in your film, Chuck D from Public Enemy. So you have three legendary wrestlers and a foundational MC
my money, pound for pound, one of the greatest MCs that ever lived.
Absolutely.
Everybody talks about their top five, Tupac, Biggie. If you don't put Chuck D in there, I honestly just don't think you know rap history. But that's me, you know.
Yeah.
I'm old and bitter, as you put it, you know.
What was the chemistry like with those guys on set, if they had any interactions? That had to have been you know, those are some very different worlds. It's like a worlds colliding kind of situation.
Dude, I'll tell you the craziest thing. One of the more surreal moments of my life is, we were shooting at my house where I actually live, and it was a day that DDP was in a scene, and I had been trying to get Chuck D. Chuck D's a buddy of mine. I met him in a very weird way. I actually stalked him at a fish taco restaurant, but we became friends, and I was trying to get him in the movie, just a cameo, just literally one of those things, put your face in it for 2 seconds. I just got to say that you were in it, right? So he kind of, we're playing phone tag, he's the busiest guy on earth, and I get a text message from him saying, hey man, I'm coming by. I'm down to be in the movie. You got me for 30 minutes. What's your address? Boom. Just like that. Right. So I run and grab the director. I'm like, you got to do Chuck D's. Come on. We got to do Chuck D scene. We got to do a Chuck D scene. He's like, what are you talking about? We have this whole schedule. I'm like, I don't give a shit. Tear it up. Throw it away. Chuck D's coming. We're filming something with Chuck D. So lo and behold, there's Chuck D, walks up to my house, walks in. People are like stunned. Like, there's a couple people on set that were big rap guys, obviously, you know, and everybody kept hearing that I was friends with them, but I don't think anybody believed me. They just thought I was just kind of insane, right? And then he just comes cruising in, and DDP is in my kitchen eating cereal. Chuck D comes in and starts going through my DVD collection looking for Twilight Zone episodes that he hasn't seen, right? And then he comes in the kitchen and I'm introducing Chuck D to Diamond Dallas Page in my kitchen. Oh. And all I could think, I was like, this is just arguably the most surreal moment of my entire life.
Yeah, at that point, even if the movie...
I'll very blatantly admit it. So I'm just tripping out, man. Like, I got these two legends of, right. like, you know, their respective worlds.
Because at that point, I mean, if the movie doesn't work out, you at least had that experience, which is, like, just amazing. I mean, like, you can't... That's just insane.
Most surreal moment in world history, really.
Yeah, and totally.
Not only Chuck D had this movie, he also had a lot of people with some very impressive resumes. So we're talking about The Bet, by the way. Chris J, he is the producer, writer. Also in the movie, you have Dave England from Jackass. Big fan of that guy. He did some funny stuff. Dean, is it Baker? Dean Backer?
Dean Bashar?
Bashar.
Yeah, from South Park and Orgasmo. Yeah.
Right. He's been around. We know Dean Bashar. Jeremiah Watkins from the roast battle on Comedy Central, which is hilarious, by the way.
Did you guys get to watch that? Did you get to watch roast battle?
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, there's Jeremiah. He's like a cheerleader kind of thing. I don't even know what he does in that show, but it's funny.
Well, you know, he had a really big pop, a great timing for us, but in the finale of roast battle, right? Like they would go.
Oh, I didn't
was
see
one
it
of
yet.
The guys that would get up and act like, you know, just crazy when there was a heavy joke. So Jeremiah,
so he's in it.
Talk about a dedication to craft, right? He grew his pubes out for like 6 months, right, for this bit. And he literally on the final joke of the final episode live, he jumps up and he takes out a razor and he shaves his pubes on national television.
Oh,
right?
I didn't see that. That's
yeah,
funny.
I don't know if you caught that. And Judd Apatow, of all people, said it was the funniest thing he's ever seen in his life. So
wow.
I was just thrilled that, you know, Judd Apatow, like, you know, this comedic director legend, he's on national television telling one of our actors that his pube shave was, the comedic highlight of his life, you know. I felt so proud. I felt like a proud parent, you know.
Right.
Like, yes, we cast that guy, you know.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny how people get attention in the industry? And there he is. And Judd Apatow.
Yep.
Now he's going to be in a Judd Apatow movie because he shaved his pubes on TV. That's all you got
to
do.
Yeah, I won't be able to get him in our next movie because he'll be in a Judd movie because he shaved his pubes. So,
when I shaved my pubes in Judd Apatow's house, I went to jail.
Right.
You know, Catch 22. Why the double standard?
That's actually a very popular movie online, actually.
Yeah. Right. Well, The Bet is the name of the movie, and it's out now. Everybody watch it on demand. And where else can people find it? The Bet Movie 2016.
Anywhere where there's digital movies, you can go to Amazon Prime, iTunes, Google Play, Xbox, PlayStation. It's all there, and then it'll be actually coming out on DVD, if you remember what those are, next week.
And it is a very funny movie. I want everybody to know.
Definitely available.
Bitch, I remember
it's a very funny movie.
Betamax is... Don't talk to me about DVDs.
Wow. Right. Do you remember the VHS Beta Battle? Like,
oh, hell yeah.
In the 80s?
Hell yeah.
Well, it is a very funny movie, and I want everybody to know. I'm going to play a clip here. It's a random clip because these aren't labeled. So let's just see what this one is.
You're making a list of all the girls you wish you fucked in school. That's hilarious, because I have a list of the girls I did fuck in school. Search your scene.
It's a big fucking list.
Hey, Denton could fuck every girl on that list.
Oh, wait, let the man speak.
You think Denton can get through this whole list, every name? Could you do that, Denton?
Huh? I didn't say anything. I maybe heard.
God, I smell a bet coming on. I wish any of you fuckers had anything of value. Anything.
There you go. And that's how the movie is set up. The bet begins. And then the hilarity ensues.
Great clip right there. Great clip.
All right. Well, thank you, Chris, for coming on the show. It's great to talk to you. And what are you doing next? Are you doing more film? Or are you doing
our freshman has an anniversary coming up. So I think next year we're going to... try and do some new music and do a little touring for fun. We'd go to the United Kingdom, and Aaron and I have written our second film. It's called Wedding or Not, and we're hoping to shoot that late 2017. So we're just going to promote the bet for a couple months, and then basically when the new year starts, try and start working on another film. We really enjoyed the process. It was a lot of fun. Difficult, but very rewarding, too. So, you know, making music, making movies, you know, working part-time jobs, you know, just keeping it real, dude. You know how it is.
Well, if you need us to help out, we'll waive our fees and help out with cameos or craft services. Whatever you need us to do, we'll pass out donuts.
That sounds awesome. That sounds awesome. That sounds very good.
Quit and volunteering me for things.
Where does the EJC stand on the whole election right now? Like, I couldn't tell if you were hating or if you were loving on her.
I don't know if I can really support Hillary.
Well, I don't know that any of us are huge fans of Hillary, but we sure as hell are not supporting Donald Trump.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
He's starting to grow on me.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Just kidding.
I don't know how anybody can really, in their right mind, support Donald Trump personally. But what about you? Are you a big Trump guy?
No. I don't get it. I actually think, not to get all political based, but, dude, I think he's very scary. Like,
this is why democracy doesn't work.
He scares the shit out of me, dude. Like, he's not someone that I'd like to hang out with in person. Like, he would creep me out. Like, if I went to a restaurant and had dinner with him, I'd be like, I'm going to go.
I mean, yeah, he ate his KFC chicken. He ate his KFC chicken with a fork and a knife, for crying out loud.
How do you eat yours?
Yeah, he reminds me of like a vice principal that everybody hated, even the other teachers.
This is what's wrong with America.
I give it 5 months before Donald Trump voter becomes a synonym for retarded person, and 5 years before Donald Trump voter becomes like, whoa, back up. Did you just drop a DTV? You know, you can't say that anywhere.
All right, well, thanks.
I'm offended.
Yeah, it's gonna be very, very interesting.
Definitely. Well, maybe we'll have to have you back as we get closer to the election. It's always good to talk to you, man, and keep us up to date with everything that's happening. You know that Adobe will always support
you. Really appreciate the support. Means a lot. Always enjoy the show. Please, please keep in touch and let us know what you think of the film if you haven't seen it yet.
Thank you very much, man.
Thanks, man. We'll talk soon.
Okay, take care, guys. Be safe out there.
All right.
Absolutely.
Bye bye.
Enjoy the Charlotte's Web.
We'll try.
All right.
There he is, Chris J. from Army of Freshmen and the new movie, The Bet. It's available on demand right now. Go watch it. It's very funny. Go to wherever you cable provider or
iTunes.
Online. iTunes. It is on iTunes, and you can get The Bet and watch it written by the guy. It's a very funny movie.
Before we go off the air, clearly a fan in Chris, a listener of the show.
He is a listener of the show. We didn't even actually get to that.
We are one step away from Truck D. Like, what if Chris J. just drops, little thumb drive and Chuck's
Do you want Chuck D. on the show?
And Chuck D.
Why don't we ask him? Because actually, Chris J. is a fan of the show. We were talking earlier, and he was telling us about, or he mentioned the feud we had with Real Big Fish. He brought that up, so I knew he was a fan of the show.
Yeah.
Or he just went through and looked at our podcast.
Well, in either case, he's a classy guy.
Either way,
he did a little bit of homework.
Yeah.
Or is a fan. I don't know. Either way. More than we do for most of our interviews. So.
If we got Chuck D on, that would be the first rapper we would ever, first ever, right, on our show.
What are we going to talk to him
bitch.
About?
I think you're right. That is
We've never
a
had
bit.
A rapper.
Yeah, we have.
Who?
Remember that guy who did freestyle with Chris?
Oh, yeah.
Does that count? That doesn't count.
How does it not count? That literally is exactly what you asked.
A notable rapper.
Oh, okay.
Well, notable artists, you could say.
It'd be our first notable guest.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyways, just find The Bet, everybody. Go watch it for real. We're getting behind this movie as much as we get behind
anyone else?
Our hemp
Eddie's
oil.
Mom.
I was going to bring the sponsor back into it, but okay.
Yeah.
The hemp oil.
We can do both.
All right. We'll be back with more.
Do you think Eddie's mom could sponsor the show?
Eddie, Jason, and Chris. EJCShow.com.
It's Eddie, Jason, and Chris Show. 1-888-99-IDOBE. It's 1-888-994-3624 to come on the air if you want to do that. You are welcome to.
If you're brave enough.
It's a big mistake to eat pretzels before you go on the air. I have to say, it's just terrible.
And it's a bigger mistake when it's filled with peanut butter.
No.
It's the worst.
It's the worst snack. For people who are on the air, we're eating peanut butter filled pretzels and. Terrible. This is like broadcasting school 101 of do not do.
Well, I mean, I think you don't eat anything or chew anything during the show.
What happened? Chris is coming in here.
What?
What happened?
Oh, shit. He's getting lightheaded. Are we going to have to call 911 on him?
Alcohol and give him blood. Great idea. Wait, you see him giving blood?
You gave blood.
I don't smoke enough.
You gave blood and now you've been drinking.
And smoking, yes.
You almost fell.
Why are you smoking a cigarette?
I didn't almost fall.
You did
I caught myself.
And now you have to do the news.
Exactly.
We might have to call 911 as you faint.
That's gripping.
Do you want us to call
breaking 911? News action that our listeners demand,
Chris? If you faint right now, do you want us to call 911 or should we wait and try to wake you up?
I trust you guys. I'll leave it to your judgment.
All right. So
you play it based on, you know.
So we'll carry you down the elevator into the lobby and just leave you there and call anonymously.
Oh, you're gonna train spot me? Damn. Well, you do what you gotta do.
How are you feeling overall? I mean, are you lightheaded right now, or like, what's going on?
I am a little worried.
No,
about
I just
you.
Had to walk in, and
you're just not used to walking because you don't walk very much.
I'm not used to smoking
and drinking and giving blood.
Yes, yes.
Why are you doing all these
That's
things
a
at once?
Combination right now.
Because Let's I am a heroin. Humanitarian and badass.
Let's give him heroin.
All right.
You already
your
have
news?
A hole in your arm.
And here's what's happening with Chris's news.
Yeah, there's no chance of getting stage fright.
Oh.
Deed's done.
Wrong one. This just did.
That worked too.
Having backup plans may keep you from reaching your goals. Researchers ran a series of experiments that showed making a backup plan could cause people not to work as hard and to be less successful at reaching their primary goals. They say the results show that people may want to try everything to reach their goal before they come up with a backup plan.
Need some water?
Couldn't hurt.
Do you guys have backup plans?
It's a very vague...
This show's my backup plan, and apparently it's holding me back. David in Australia.
Don't pretend the show's your backup plan. David, this is obviously your plan A, and it's holding you back.
David in Australia, you were saying that you thought Chris was a smoker, and you commented on that beginning of the show, and now Chris is admitting to having smoked a cigarette. How do you feel about that?
I knew it. I CSI'd his ass, and I knew it.
You CSI'd his ass.
And I also admitted to almost passing out from 2/3 of a cigarette.
Now... Are you worried about Chris at all, David?
Slightly concerned.
You should see him here. He's getting a little
pale. Is he pale?
He's getting there.
He paler than normal?
Yeah, he's approaching like a, I don't know, Diane Sawyer level.
Not quite.
That's
Barbara
all you could come up with.
Not Barbara Walters, though.
She's like, you don't follow the news. She was like reportedly always drunk on the air. But,
Well, we're not all
David,
historians of Diane Sawyer.
You called it, David. Chris is indeed a pole smoker, so thanks for letting us know that you thought he might be smoking some fags.
Whoa, don't say anything we can't take back, big
boy. It's more just to give you guys feedback that the cameras that I've had installed in the studio to watch you guys.
Yeah, we're going to hang up on him because it's getting creepy.
Yeah, that's weird.
Hang up on David. He's riffing with us.
I know. I did it for comedic effect. That's all.
Well, you just came across as a dick.
Oh, whatever.
That was not the thing that came across. Never mind. Let's keep going.
David,
shut up.
David,
kick David off.
I know,
David.
Keep going.
He's listening. It was just for comedic effect. Anyways, what's in the news?
Keep going.
Watching too much TV can make a man less fertile.
Oh, good God.
Yeah.
Elliot. Too many soundboards.
Sorry.
Just go ahead.
All right, yeah. Researchers looked at 1,200 healthy young men to see how much TV they watched and checked out their sperm counts. They found that watching more than 5 hours of TV a day can decrease a man's sperm count by a third. And men who watched too much TV also had lower levels of testosterone, which the body needs to produce sperm. So there you go.
So that kind of sounds like a... I don't know if I buy this because, you know, you think people who are knocking up one another are the ones who are
at home,
not doing anything, watching TV all day?
Who the hell watches 5 hours of TV a day? Is it 5 hours?
There's a
day?
Reason why Maury has big ratings. I don't
Holy
know who's
crap.
Doing it, but, you know, I kind of feel like this is false because We're talking about people who just watch TV. How much TV do you guys watch?
Depends on the day.
What? How many hours a day would you guys...
I'd say maybe 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
I will cop that there have been times in my life where I watch considerably more.
What's your sperm count? Let Jason...
8?
Yeah.
9? What's a good number?
Would you agree, Jason? With a sperm count?
I know where you're going, Eddie, and you're really... You got to get to the point. Just
when do you get to the point?
You just got to get to the point a little quicker next time. I probably shouldn't have had sex with a 16-year-old. I need to know where that's from. It's so weird.
I don't know, but I'm really regretting being the chief of staff of your election
campaign.
Well,
we got a lot of obstacles to tackle.
Yeah.
You're an
number
expert
one that
in Hitler's balls.
There's a lot there. There's a lot there.
There's a
I'm
lot of obstacles
lie.
Here. I don't know.
I'm not going to lie.
I'm not going to lie to you, Jason. Your being a statutory rapist makes us getting you elected president a bit harder.
I'm but we'll, Keith Morse.
This just did. We'll pull it through. We'll make it happen.
We'll make it happen.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I like this for your new
I'm more
news.
Relatable.
Actually, I love it.
I'm more relatable.
How about this for your new news stinger, too? Instead of the current affair, we'll do...
I'm Keith Morse.
This nope. just did.
Nah.
Nope.
Nah.
It's got to be a current affair, but I love this.
I can't find it.
I love this background music. That's okay.
Go ahead.
We'll just let it go for tonight. An app maker believes Donald Trump will win the presidential election.
You got to make your cadence a little darker.
Crazy Raccoons, which is the maker of the Zip question and answer app, says their data shows that Trump will become the next president. They say their data is different from polls which show Hillary Clinton leading because Zip is 100% anonymous and people feel comfortable answering questions without fear of being bullied or being called a racist.
Yeah, because people are always honest on apps.
You guys are so racist,
If you post about your workout on Facebook, you're probably a narcissist with a deep-seated need for outside validation.
Wait, you're on to the next story?
Yeah. You guys didn't seem to have anything.
I didn't catch the transition there. I thought you were still...
I got it. I said something and
yeah,
we moved on.
Thank you.
Well,
I said, you need to be a little quicker.
I feel like he needs to have more of a profound ending and a more of a profound start.
I feel like you need to stop second-guessing me in the middle of my segment.
I feel like you should just do your segment correctly.
I feel like you should just shut up and run the board.
Yeah, that's what your mom should do, too.
Doesn't even make sense. That doesn't even approach making sense.
Then why are you laughing?
Because I am drunk and missing... A fifth of my blood. And I'm smoking fags.
That's creepy. All right.
Well, that was a great show, guys.
That's it for the news.
That was a good show.
Oh.
Yeah,
all right.
No
that's probably
stage
fine.
Fright. The deed's done.
That's how you end the news. I like that.
The deed's done.
Yeah,
deed's
there's done. Actually nothing here that's
worthy. Chris
Nothing
Worthy.
Here we need to dwell on, go out of our way to get to.
Well, big thanks to everybody listening, and big thanks to David in Australia, of course, as always. Have to give him a special shout-out because we hung up on him.
Very rude. David, I apologize.
I know we people get the podcast. Get it on iTunes. Search for Eddie, Jason, and Chris. You get all of our episodes. Search Eddie, Jason, and Chris on iTunes. Subscribe. We'll see you next time. In 1873, Golden, Colorado was home to miners searching for gold. And when the miners sat down for a well-deserved banquet, Mr. Coors brought a beer worthy of the occasion, a beer that came to be known as
Coors
the banquet beer.
Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. With great beer comes great responsibility. I love that line.
I know, it's great, isn't it? Thank you, Coors,
line.
For supporting the show. As always, also
thank you for your delicious beer.
Uh huh.
Mm hmm.
And big thanks to CW Hemp for sponsoring us today. CW Hemp contains naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants, which remove the toxins from your body that can cause premature aging, disease, and mental fatigue. And you can add this to your daily fish oil and omega-3 routine. Add Charlotte's Web to it. Just do it.
And thank you to Eddie and Jason for making me look good. And for being great guys.
And you know what? What is that part of our live read? Is that in here?
Charlotte's Web's used by professional athletes, musicians, podcast hosts like us, librarians, lawyers, infants, and Eddie.
And you know what your body is? What you put in your body is what you get out of it. Okay? And Charlotte's Web is there to help you out. Chris threw me off completely. What is he talking
about? I'm sorry.
Add Charlotte's Web to your diet, and you'll get more out of your body than you ever imagined. Chris needs Charlotte's Web. You haven't been taking yours, apparently.
Yeah, he needs it right now.
He's not very sharp. And anyways, don't spend another day without Charlotte's Web. Don't be like Chris.
Don't be like Chris.
I lost my end of the show copy.
Uh-huh. You should have had Charlotte's Web. Get yours today at CWHemp.com/EJC. That's CWHemp.com/EJC. You can also search the hashtag on social media, #YCW, WHYCW, to find out more. CWHemp.com/EJC. Okay, bye. See you next time.